The Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, encouraged us to strive for uprightness by seeking assistance in the early mornings, late afternoons, ar-rawha, and something of the depths of the night. From this tradition, the scholars made it a habit to briefly read texts of religious guidance in the late afternoon, and often term such readings the daily rawha. The term refers to the late afternoon, but also to a time of rest from worldly toils and reinvigoration of one's spirit. In this daily rawha, Sheikh Faraz Rabbani will be covering two texts: Imam Zarnuji's primer on the etiquette of seeking knowledge, Ta'lim al-Muta'allim Tariq al-Ta'allum, and Imam Yusuf al-Nabahani's beautiful collection of 40 sets of 40 prophetic hadith.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammad, Habibi Rabbil Alameen, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa tabi'in lahum bi ihsanin wa hudan ila yawmiddin. اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا التأويل وألهمنا رشدنا يا رب العالمين. الحمد لله. We are continuing to look at 40 hadiths in praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathered by the great 20th century scholar, the great lover of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sheikh Yusuf al-Nabahani. And Sheikh Yusuf al-Nabahani, in this collection, very uniquely gathers 40 sets of 40 hadiths. So the first was 40 ahadith qudsiyya, and the second collection, which we're in the midst of, is 40 sets of hadith in praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we stopped at hadith number 24. So what page is it in the thing? Sorry. Bookmark got lost. Have one. Yep, I have it there. Okay. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من صلى صلاة لم يقرأ فيها بفاتحة الكتاب فهي خداج ثلاثا غير تام. فقيل لأبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه إنا نكون وراء الإمام. فقال اقرأها في نفسك فإني سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول قال الله تعالى قسمت الصلاة بيني وبين عبدي نصفين. So in this hadith, it's related by Abu Hurairah رضي الله تعالى عنه, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever performs the prayer without reciting in it the opening of the book, Fatiha al-Kitab, Surah al-Fatiha, it is deficient, meaning not complete. So Abu Huraira was asked, we may be behind the Imam, right? And the Imam's reciting. فَقَالْ اِقْرَأَهَا فِي نَفْسَكِ. He said, recite it within yourself. Why? He said, for I have heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, Allah Most High says, I have divided the prayer between myself and my servant in two halves, nisfain. فَنِصْفُهَا لِي وَنِصْفُهَا لِعَبْدِي. Right? The first half is for me, and the second half is for my servant. So we look at, this is the mawdi' shahid, this is the point of the hadith in its mention here. The first part, that whoever does not recite the Fatiha, it's a well-known difference of opinion amongst the companions and subsequently amongst the Imams, that there's two types of prayer behind the Imam. So the cases are, you could be praying alone or you could be praying behind an Imam. When you're praying behind when you're praying on your own, you need to recite the Fatiha, right? Whether it being obligatory according to the Jumhur, or it being wajib according to the Hanafis. When you're praying behind the Imam, then the prayer behind the Imam is either out loud or quiet. So according to the Shafi'is, one must recite the Fatiha behind the Imam, both in the loud prayers and the quiet prayers. In some schools, one does so in the quiet prayers, not in the loud prayers. And the Hanafis said, one does not recite behind the Imam in the loud prayers or the quiet prayers. Right? And the reasoning for that can be found in its due places. Right? So here, the Hanafis, for example, and the Malikis, when it comes to the quiet prayer, to the loud prayers, would understand, recite it within yourself, meaning within you, without pronouncing it. Right? Right? If you say, I said to myself, you didn't actually say, that's so tasty. You say it to within yourself, meaning in your thoughts. Right? And there's khilaf on that. But the heart of the hadith is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have divided the prayer between myself and my servant into two halves. A half for me and a half for my servant. This points to the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, reminds us of the great praise that is Surah Al-Fatiha. And it points to many of the virtues of Surah Al-Fatiha. One of the virtues of Surah Al-Fatiha that is highlighted here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to Surah Al-Fatiha as the prayer, As-Salah. And this is one of the names of Surah Al-Fatiha, is that it's As-Salah. God divided the prayer, and this is a common rhetorical usage in the Arabic language, right? Which is dhikrul juz' wa iradatul kull, mentioning a part and intending the whole. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ, and bow with those who bow. It doesn't just mean that when people are praying, when they go into ruku', you join in and then you leave. Allah said, إِرْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ, bow with those who bow. I bowed. No one would understand that. What's understood from it is, bow with those who bow, meaning, that's mentioning a part and intending the whole. وَكُنْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ, and be of those who prostrate. The sujood is mentioned, but what's meant is the whole, right? And it's done for a number of reasons, right? So sometimes a part is mentioned and the whole is intended, and sometimes a whole is mentioned and a part is intended. I've divided the prayer. Here, this is the whole. But what part is being mentioned? The Fatiha. Why is that? Because it's as if the whole prayer is the Fatiha. The Fatiha is the heart of the prayer. That all the emphasis that arises with respect to the prayer of presence of heart and reverence and awe and humbling oneself, etc., it applies a fortiori to the Fatiha. One, because if you can rectify your beginning, then the continuity is much easier. Second, because the best of the prayer is the recitation of Qur'an. The overwhelming majority of the scholars across the schools of Islamic law affirm that both rationally and both textually and rationally, recitation is superior to prostration. Because what you do in prostration is dhikr of Allah, but we know that the Qur'an is more meritorious than other dhikr. Right? In prostration you make dhikr and dua, but the Qur'an is the highest of both dhikr and dua. And textually, because the Prophet ﷺ said, أَفْضَلُ الصَّلَاةُ طُولُ الْقُنُوتُ, the best of prayer is lengthy recitation, and other texts. So this highlights how important the Fatiha is. Right? And which is why the Prophet ﷺ said, what he said, that whoever does not recite it, the prayer is deficient. In other In other ahadith, لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب. There's no prayer for one who has not recited the Fatiha. Meaning their prayer is either invalid, the way the Shafi'is want to understood it, understand it, or as the Hanafis understand it, their prayer is deficient. Right? It's either لا صلاة صحيحة or لا صلاة كاملة. Right? But either way, that's... But why? Always rulings are generally connected with meanings. Rulings, virtues, are connected with meanings. The things that are incumbent are because they're the most important. They're the most impactful. Right? So I have divided the prayer, meaning the Fatiha, between myself and my servant in two halves. A half for me and a half for my servant. وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ And for my servant is whatever they ask for. And this is one of the things to keep in mind with the Fatiha. Right? Allah has... it's as if, what is the Fatiha? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have divided the prayer, the Fatiha, into two halves. A half for me, which is the part that has the praise of Allah. And a half for my servant. Which is the second, which is from إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ And then, you're making dua. And my servant shall have مَا سَأَلْ Whatever they asked for. Right? And my servant shall have whatever they asked for. Which is why one should have presence of heart in the Fatiha when one says إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ Guide us to the path that is straight. Guide us. There's two types of asking of Allah. There's the mutlaq asking, the unconditioned asking. Guide us. Generally, in all things, absolutely. But there's also the specific asking. Right? Which is the matter that is either the circumstance that you're in, or the matter that has befallen you, or the choice that you're seeking to make, or the thing that is troubling you, or the difficulty, or the distress, whatever it may be. وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ And my servant shall have whatever they asked for. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ Guide us to the path that is straight. The path to you, to your good pleasure, to the good of this life and the next. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ Guide us. Right? So this is the great gift of the Fatiha. Which is why the Prophet, amongst the many reasons why the Prophet ﷺ described that whenever any matter befell him, he would turn to prayer. He would turn, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to prayer. وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ And this is one of the greatest mistakes people make when difficulties arise. Right? The sunnah is to turn to Allah. إِسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ Seek assistance in steadfastness, in patience, and in prayer. وَالصَّلَاةِ And part of it is this. That ask. إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ If you're going to ask, ask Allah.
فَإِذَا قَالَ الْعَبْدُ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ حَمَدَنِي عَبْدِي
When the servant, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, when the servant says, All praise is due to Allah. All praise is Allah's, Lord of the worlds. Allah mighty and majestic responds, My servant has praised me. Hamadani abdi. And they say this is, one should feel that divine, the honor, the gratitude, right? That Allah recognizes that praising. And that divine recognition is far greater than your praising. وَإِذَا قَالَ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ And when the servant says, the all-merciful, the most compassionate, قَالَ أَثْنَى عَلَيَّ عَبْدِي Allah Most High says, my servant has exalted me. Exaltation. ثَنَى وَإِذَا قَالَ مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ And when the servant says, Master of the day of judgment. قال مجدني عبدي. Allah Most High says, my servant has magnified me. From majd, which is majesty and magnification. وَإِذَا قَالَ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And when the servant says, you alone do we serve, and you alone do we seek assistance of. قَالَ هَذَا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is between me and my servant. هَذَا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي. وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ. And my servant shall have whatever they asked. Right? And سِيَغُ الْعُمُومِ لَابُدَّ مِنْ مُلَاحَظَتِهَا. Right? The general expressions, one should really pay attention to them. And my servant shall have whatever. اِهْدِنَا. Guide us. Right? So there's the general asking. Guide us. To what? To you. And to all that leads to you. In general. But also, lead me to you in this circumstance I am in. Whatever it may be. Ista'inu bisabri wassalah. Seek assistance in patience and prayer. This is between me and my servant. Right? This is the mercy that is the Fatiha. وَإِذَا قَالَ اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ قَالَ هَذَا لِعَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ. And when the servant says, guide us to the path that is straight, the path of those you have blessed before us, not that of those who are under your wrath, nor those who are astray, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is for my servant. And my servant shall have whatever they asked for. Okay, so we should pay attention to this whatever. And both the general ask, right, to magnify it. What are you asking for? You're asking for Allah and the means to Allah. But in specific, right, which is why it's a neglected sunnah for many people, that of the greatest types of dua is the Fatiha. So, anytime you're going to do something significant, one of the blessed things to do is to recite the Fatiha. But don't just prattle it, because you don't ask Allah by words, you ask Allah by meanings. Right? Words are like cups, the meanings is what is found within them. But Allah is generous, so He's put, there's a default, 10 times response. That's already, the cups are pre-filled. Right? So when the action is found, Allah by His mercy has already pre-filled the cup with tenfold reward. But you're losing out by just accepting that, even though that's generous. Right? Even though that is generous. Rahul Imam Ahmad, this is related by Imam Ahmad. ومسلم والترمذي والنسائي وأبو داود right? وخداج ناقصة. And خداج means ناقصة. So this is a reminder to reconnect with the Fatiha within the prayer, right? And to really consider the Fatiha to be the very soul of one's prayer. To be the very soul of one's prayer. We'll read the next hadith as well. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله تعالى خلق يوم خلق السماوات والأرض 100 رحمة كل رحمة طباقها طباق السماوات والأرض. Allah most, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said that truly when Allah created, on the day that He created the heavens and the earth, 100 mercies. Okay? And these are created mercies. We're not talking about, this is not divine mercy divided. Right? This is good, embodied. Right? This is created mercy, mercy in creation. He created 100 mercies. Every mercy of them, its extent is the extent of the heavens and the earth. فَقَسَمَ رَحْمَةً بَيْنَ جَمِيعِ الْخَلَائِقِ. Allah divided one mercy amongst all His creation. وَدَّخَرَ تِسْعًا وَتِسْعِينَ لِنَفْسِهِ And he kept 99 of them for himself. فَإِذَا كَانَتِ الْقِيَامَةُ رَدَّ هَذِهِ الرَّحْمَةُ When it is the resurrection, the qiyamah, the day of reckoning, he returns that one mercy. And that one mercy, all its manifestations in creation, that is just one mercy. فَصَارَتْ مِئَةَ رَحْمَةٍ It becomes 100 mercies. يَرْحَمُ بِهَا عِبَادَهُ And by that will he show his mercy to his servants. Meaning, and who gets that mercy? This is part of the meanings of the Prophet ﷺ says, إِنَّمَا يَرْحَمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الرُّحَمَاءِ That Allah shows his mercy amongst his servants to those who are merciful. That every manifestation of mercy in this life, Allah will magnify it beyond measure in the on the day of reckoning. 100 times here. Arahu al-Hakim. Right? And it's similarly related by Ibn Majah and others as well. And we'll read briefly as well from Ta'lim al-Mut'allim on the adab of seeking knowledge. And we looked in the previous lesson at the 6 conditions for benefiting from knowledge, correct? Right? That knowledge is only attained through 6 matters. I will inform you of them with clarity. Intelligence, avidness, holding oneself patient, and the means of reaching. And those are not just material means, but also all the other things. One needs books, one needs, you know, skills, etc. All the various things one needs. The bulgha is the means that you need to hatta tablugha, so that you can reach muradak, what you seek. Wa irshadu ustadin, and to be under the guiding of a teacher. Wa tulu zaman, and long time. Then he talks about the importance of companionship, right? And this is one of the most important things. They say, Wallahi, مَا أَفْلَحَ مَنْ أَفْلَحَ إِلَّا بِصُحْبَةِ مَنْ أَفْلَحَ By Allah, no one succeeded of those who succeeded except by keeping the company of those successful. So, one is trying to have certain qualities to succeed as a seeker of knowledge, and to facilitate that for oneself, one should strive and one should actively seek out the company of those who are likewise. So he says, and this is something that they say, this is part of ikhtiyar. One chooses it out. It's not, who do you spend time with? Well, so-and-so lives next door to me. Right? It's really important. Right? It's really important. And one must seek it out, because one cannot traverse a challenging path on one's own. Right? Except rarely. Right? So he says, وَأَمَّا اخْتِيَارُ الشَّرِيكِ فَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَخْتَارَ الْمُجِدَّ الْوَرِعَ وصاحب الطبع المستقيم. He says, it is incumbent that one seek out someone who's mujid. Right? Someone who is characterized by constant jid, seriousness and striving. That mujid. They say, من جد وجد. Whoever strives, finds. Right? So one seeks out people who are striving, who are keen, who are avid. والورع. And someone who's scrupulous, who are careful, right, who are careful in matters of religion. وصاحب الطبع المستقيم, and someone of sound temperament. ويفر من الكسلان. One should flee from the lazy والمعطل and the one who have nothing to do. Right? والمكثار and the one who is just concerned by amassing a lot of things. والمفسد and the one who spreads corruption. Right? والفتان and the one who promotes fitna. There's some people who all they know, oh, you know, Sheikh so-and-so disagrees with Sheikh so-and-so. So-and-so, oh, guess what happened in, you know, someone asked one of the Canadian scholars, what's your opinion of the conference in Chechnya? He said, I don't have an opinion about it because I'm not in Chechnya. And all these people ganged up on him. It's like, and these are people who are fattan, and one keeps away from people who promote fitna, right? And then he quotes the importance of good company. He quotes a poet who said, "عن المرء لا تسأل وأبصر قرينه فكل قرين بالمقارن يقتدي." Said, "About a person, ask not, but observe carefully their close friends. For every close friend will be following their close friends." Right? Don't ask about a person, but rather look carefully as to their close friends. And this is one of the, there's a positive aspect of this, that if you want to acquire good qualities, keep the company, like the active, deliberate company, not just that you happen to be in the same place. People, it's clear from the sunnah, people should be eating together, spending time together, right? Doing things together, right? And it's bid'ah zafari, even things like going shopping, doing the groceries. There you look at the example of the sahaba, they always used to seek out others to do these things with, right? Because it's much better. It's much better. It serves as a reminder. It keeps away from fudul. There's many, many benefits, right? So that's in terms of acquiring good qualities, but also how does one, you know, one of the obvious cases is in marriage. A lot of people try to figure out the person, but say you don't really have to, it's not so important to inquire about the person as to the close company they keep. The challenge in our times is most people don't keep the close company of anybody. Okay? And that itself, but you can predict from that they're going to have all kinds of problems. Right? So this is an area that we have to pay attention to ourselves. Here is not to judge others, but that if we want to acquire those qualities, we must keep the company of those who are striving to acquire those qualities. Right? You don't just say, well, I can't find such perfect people, but a person is by their intentions, right? And they're striving, not by what they attain. فَإِنْ كَانَ ذَا شَرٍ فَجَانِبْهُ سُرْعَةً وَإِنْ كَانَ ذَا خَيْرٍ فَقَارِنْهُ تَهْتَدِي. He said, and then if a person keeps the company of their evil, then keep away from them quickly. And if they're people of virtue, then keep such a person's close company and you will find guidance. Right? And he emphasizes another poem, لَتَصْحَبِ الْكَسْلَانَ فِي حَالَاتِهِ كَمْ صَالِحٍ بِفَسَادِ آخَرَ يَفْسُدُ. Right? He said, don't keep the company of one lazy in their affairs. For how many a righteous person by the corruption of another becomes corrupted. Right? He says, عَدْوَى الْبَلِيدِ إلى الجليد سريعة كالجمر يوضع في الرماد فيخمد. Right? Says the plague of the fool goes to the resolute quickly, like a burning coal when it's placed on sand. The sand starts heating up. Right? وقد قال صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم كل مولود يولد على الفطرة أو على فطرة الإسلام. And the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, every child is born on the natural disposition of submission. إلا أن أبويه يهودانه أو ينصرانه أو يمجدانه. But then it is their parents who make them into a Jew or a Christian or a Magian. The hadith. Meaning that it is, you know, the social environment transforms people. So just as the parents transform how the child is, likewise other types of social company transform, both in the negative and in the positive. So that is very, very critical. ويقال في الحكمة بالفارسية, and then he quotes some lines of poetry in Farsi, which I have no clue what they mean, but the meaning is said to be that a person of harm is worse, you know, a harmful companion is worse, is more harmful to one than a black snake, and of greater detriment. And then to close the chapter, he says, إن كنت تبغي العلم من أهله أو شاهدا تخبر عن غائبي فاعتبر الأرض بأسمائها واعتبر الصاحب بالصاحب. Said, if you wish to seek knowledge from its people or find a proof by which you can test the absent, right? You want a way to judge, then consider the earth by its names and consider the companion by their companions. When you're choosing a companion, right? Right? And consider the earth by its names. Why? Because the basis of names, at least for the Arabs, was they would name things by the qualities that they had. Right? And the Arabs would give a thing many names. So often there'd be one formal name for something, but other names they would give them according to the qualities it had. So, you know, so what is a place called? So, for example, Medina before the time of the Prophet was called Yathrib, from Tathrib, which means loss. And there's other names even for the places around it. And there are places called like Adwa, you know, the disease that spreads and this, and all these really negative names. So, you're going to consider earth, consider what are the names for it? I mean, what do people call it? If they call it, you know, the ugly hole and the dreary place, etc., then and consider a person, consider someone you're considering as a companion by the companions that they keep. Right? So this is the section on carefully choosing what one studies and one's teacher and one's companion. Right? Because these are critical to success. The next chapter, which is very, very important, is on venerating knowledge and its people. Venerating knowledge and its people. And this is a value that in modern times people find difficult, because nothing is sacred. Right? Nothing is sacred. Right? But the believer holds that everything that has an ascription to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sacred. Relationships are sacred because Allah has placed them, right? So, and this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that وَمَن يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهُ مِن تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Whoever has ta'zim, right? وَمَن يُعَظِّمْ, right? عَظَّمَ يُعَظِّمُ تَعْظِيمًا. Whoever has active veneration, deep, unwavering respect for the symbols of Allah, the sha'air of Allah, which are everything that has been honored by Allah and that is a means to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? The Quran, the beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Kaaba, the ritual acts of worship, knowledge, its people, its means, all of these. Right? Everything, right? وَمَن يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ. Whoever venerates, right? And every expression of veneration, فَإِنَّهُ مِن تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. That truly is from taqwa that's in the heart. Meaning, a lack of ta'zeem is from a lack of taqwa. And if you seek to increase in taqwa, one of the ways to begin that is to begin having ta'zeem. And this is a neglected virtue because there's a sense that, well, everything's all the same. Nothing's all the same. دَرَجَاتٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. Right? There are many ranks with their Lord. Right? So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us insight in this matter. And this is an important chapter, and he has some amazing examples. So we'll continue.
from there. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi sallam. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Thank you for listening to the Rauha, Daily Guidance for Seekers with Sheikh Faraz Rabbani. Help us continue to give light to millions around the world by becoming a monthly donor at seekershub.org/donate. Your donations are tax deductible in the U.S.